The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Hello and good night. Welcome to the doctors. I don't know why we always have a bit of feedback, but welcome to the show tonight. We are here on Guardian Radio 96.9. Producer, we're having a lot of feedback. If you could just address that. So welcome to the show. Tonight, we're gonna talk about a really interesting topic. I wanna thank you all for joining with me. I'm still having a lot of feedback. They said they're not hearing it on that side, but I'm getting it over here. I'm not too sure. Okay, it seems to be gone. I don't know what was that all about, but let me know, producer, if you can hear me still pretty well. But, you know, welcome to the Doctors In with me, Dr. Dinothra Archer Cartwright. I'm a family medicine specialist. And thank you for joining us this Tuesday evening for another exciting show of all things health, wellness, and things that pertain to the Bahamian society. We've covered quite a few interesting topics over the last few weeks. Sorry, we didn't have a show or a new show last week, but tonight we wanted to make sure and bring a new show that would be really interesting, something that's been talked about all around the world. Everybody has kind of heard about this, and it's all around the place that there is an interesting syndrome that's going around, and they're not sure what really is the cause of it. So I really wanted to get into that tonight, all about, you know, this adult sudden death syndrome that is happening around the world, and you know, what would be the likely cause. So we're going to talk about that tonight. I think that's a really interesting topic. And we have to wonder, you know, are these things happening here in the Bahamas? Because we've been seeing a lot of non-COVID deaths. And if you've been watching or following the show, you would have seen, I've talked about this earlier, kind of the repercussions of what would happen when we focus only on one particular problem and how that would relate to the entire healthcare system. And so we're going to touch on those things. I just want to say there's a really interesting comment by one of our ministers, actually the Deputy Prime Minister. In his travels, he noticed that there were very few restrictions in different countries that he had been traveling to in terms of COVID. So I think they're starting to realize that kind of a lot of pockets of the world have kind of gotten over this. They're learning to deal with this, and they've realized that COVID is kind of becoming endemic. And at some point, we have to learn to live with it and learn how to cope with it like every other respiratory disease. And so I thought that was really important that he actually pointed that out, that we're kind of behind the eight ball in terms of not lessening our restrictions and just still having some of these, what I call discriminatory practices, vaccine mandates, masking mandates, those types of things. And it's not to say that those who don't want to wear a mask or anything would not be able to. I think everyone has a free choice of doing those things. So I thought that was a very interesting comment that came up from the Deputy Prime Minister. And it shows that thinking is progressing on this topic. And as they get exposure around the world and are not limited to what the CDC and the WHO and other other organizations are putting out there, they can see that other countries are taking it upon themselves to make changes. I know they've been traveling to Europe quite a bit, and quite a few of the European countries have indeed dropped their restrictions. So the phone lines tonight, 322-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Because we didn't have a call-in show last week, I will have the lines open if you want to talk about something else as we talk about this particular topic. I'm going to be very open to that. But we're going to talk about what is sudden adult death syndrome. And you may have been seeing articles popping up from the UK, from New Zealand, from Australia, lots of different countries talking about kind of more the increase in sudden death in very young people. And when we say young people, we're talking about persons below the age of 40 years old suffering from a sudden death, usually from an unknown cause. And even if they did an autopsy, toxicology report, drug screening, they would find nothing. So a lot of these people die in their sleep, or they would die before they even arrive hospital. A lot of these deaths are said to be linked to cardiac arrest, where the heart basically stops pumping and the body and heart stops functioning, and people have breathing difficulties and they become unconscious. But what is interesting is we've known about this for quite some time. However, recently we've seen kind of a spike in those things, and we were expecting an increase in non-COVID deaths, especially over these last few years. But the under 40s is pretty much why this is kind of unusual, because that's a very young, and that is the working class group. So when you see increase in deaths in those persons, you start to wonder, you know, what is going on? What is the underlying cause? A lot of these people are thought to have had some type of arrhythmia. Usually when we think about a cardiac arrest or a heart attack, those people would have some type of clots. But we'll find that these people didn't have a clot. When they look at the heart looks perfectly normal. So it's thought that perhaps they had an arrhythmia, which is kind of a change in the beat or the sequence of the heart. And why would that be caused? Usually these people would have some type of, you know, connection to a family member or someone else who may have had a problem. And then sometimes there's nothing at all. So that's when we find that it's really, really the most interesting thing, when there's no connection. So most scientists think that SADS is caused by a heart condition that interferes with the electrical system of the heart. It's not, like we say, it's not a heart attack. And it's not caused by blockages, but rather this arrhythmic change. And the sudden unexpected death during sleep of young adults was first found and noted in 1917. However, it is extremely likely that the event has been happening for centuries. And it's just because of modern technology, we're able to really document that a bit more. The biggest risk factors are people who've had a previous heart attack or some type of coronary artery disease. And that's about 75 to 80% of these cases. The other potential risk factors include heart issues that could be problems with your ejection fraction or less than 40%. That is how well we quantify that the heart is working, as well as persons who've had previous arrhythmias before. Family history, those with genetic abnormalities. It's also associated with obesity, diabetes, and the use of certain drugs. Finally, young people with undiagnosed heart or congenital heart issues, meaning that they were born with a heart problem and we were unaware, so no one was able to diagnose it. And usually you'll find that in people over the age of 35 with some type of undiagnosed coronary heart disease would be more at risk for this type of thing. So some of these undiagnosed and untreated persons have what we call a long QT syndrome, and that can be seen on an ECG. The issue with this is that when people started noting that a lot of young people were having this or coming up with this syndrome and maybe did not have some of the classical symptoms or risk factors, there was a lot of relation to, is it related to COVID? Is it related to the vaccine? You know, what could be stemming this increase in death in this group? And we will look at further where the insurance companies also saw this increase, not only in the other under 40s, but an increase across the board in non-COVID deaths. And so although the link between the vaccine isn't stated, We know that there are links to myocarditis, inflammation, and other heart problems. And so this is where these types of associations are being further investigated. The incidence of COVID-19 in communities also is closely linked to all of this. So we have to wonder what's really causing it. Is it this post-COVID inflammation? Is it related to vaccination? Is it just related to the fact that we haven't been treating people and we haven't had the type of healthcare that would allow us to really see some of these syndromes or symptoms at an earlier time? And so a recent article from the United Kingdom newspaper really influenced a lot of this. And that's where they discussed the potential link between SADS, COVID-19, the COVID-19 vaccines, and kind of looking at whether there was a link at all. And so several conditions are now coming up, as we can see, in the aftermath of this whole COVID pandemic that is creating controversy and interest in this area. And so there's an article I saw where they suggest that doctors are baffled by sudden adult death syndrome in healthy young people. And this article is from Australia, where they were seeing a similar picture where they were actually developing a registry for all these recent deaths, including very healthy young individuals who were dying from sudden adult death syndrome. And it's basically in this article, they talk that it's a umbrella term used to describe these unexpected deaths in young people, and it's considered what they call a mystery syndrome. And it's left the Australian doctors searching for answers. And it's also led to different institutions creating registries in which they would like to look at this phenomenon and what has impacted the health condition that this is happening. I quote, in our registry, there are approximately 750 cases per year of people aged under 50 in Victoria suddenly having their hearts stop, a spokeswoman said, and approximately 100 young people per year will have no cause found for this and require extensive investigation and a full autopsy. And so this has become something extremely concerning, especially over the last few years. And people are doing more post-mortems or autopsies to kind of figure out what's causing and what's stemming all of this. In the majority of events, 90% occur outside of the hospital, so most of these people do not make it to hospital. Persons don't make it to hospital, so the actual ambulance times and forensic caring for the bulk of these patients, so then usually they're not successful. And that's what makes it so sudden. A lot of these people are young, and you would think that they would have some resilience to make it to the hospital, but in a lot of cases, they don't make it to hospital and they actually die before they have a chance to be resuscitated. So if someone had a heart attack and you do autopsy, the article claims you would see really large clots, and that would be a positive finding. But when someone has a sudden adult death syndrome, the heart is just completely normal, and it's really hard to know what to do at that point. There's a foundation in the U.S. and patients there and their family also get support. So it's something that's been happening quite a bit, where people are now putting money behind what's happening with the syndrome. These conditions can be treated and deaths can be prevented, people feel, if we were to look into why it's happening. There is a lot of, data or information that's being put into like infant syndrome, death, and those types of things. But we don't think about young adults really dying without a particular cause. These different foundations, and especially those in Australia who have been looking into this, have documented that there have been quite a few young people, even as young as the age of 19, and they actually went through a list of recent deaths that have happened. The young lacrosse player in the University of Massachusetts who died at the age of 19. There was also a 30-year-old newlywed bride in New Zealand. you had a 49-year-old just collapse. And some of these are athletes. So I think what a lot of people are seeing when they're seeing these videos where people are dropping out and they're dying is a lot of these cases that are being documented as sudden adult death syndrome. And so you can see that there's been a lot of controversies saying why you had all these young, especially athletes and different people dying, wouldn't have anything wrong with them. And this is what they're classifying these deaths as. They're classifying these deaths as sudden adult death syndrome. And the article goes on to list a multitude of young people, many of them who actually turn out to be athletes, who actually, in fact, had this sudden death. And to this date, nobody really knows why. Teenage boys as well seem to be a part of that. And so they're looking to see what genes might actually make people more prone to getting the sudden death syndrome. So it is something that has popped up all around. And it seems that, you know, they're looking to see if there's any link to the COVID-19 or the vaccination or any other syndromes that could be. The other idea of why this is happening is that we are missing diagnosis earlier because we don't have as much emphasis on primary care. And so there are a lot of trains of thought on why we're having this elevated amount of sudden death. Another article we look at, this one comes out of Australia, and it says doctors in Australia are developing the country's first SAD registry after recent incidents of healthy young people dying from sudden adult death syndrome. And it goes into some of the same ideas and thinking. And these countries have all what we call westernized countries. And so they have really good healthcare systems. And so it's really interesting that these are the countries that are seeing these. So the US, the UK, Australia, have done a lot of extensive research on this. I saw another article. This is also coming out of Australia. They talk about families open up about terrifying condition claiming the lives of healthy young people. Catherine Kane was a 31-year-old when she died unexpectedly in her sleep of a terrifying condition affecting young people. The family of the young Irish woman who died suddenly in her sleep are sharing the terrifying conditions affecting young adults. She was a healthy 31-year-old when she died unexpectedly in her sleep last January from a condition known as sudden adult death syndrome or sudden arrhythmic death syndrome. The condition is an umbrella term used as the obvious cause of death by the Royal Australian College of General Practitioners. While it's unknown how many people die of the condition globally every year, the Victorian registry rolled out 2 years ago suggests that it kills almost 750 people in that state annually. And so you can see a lot of the thought process in this really came out about 2 years ago. And so this is what a lot of these these deaths that we can't explain are all being lumped in this category. And I would also say too, I would think here in Bahamas, it's a lot harder to get data on this type of information, but we've seen a lot of non-COVID deaths also here, including much younger people than expected. I would say that within this last year, from my perspective and what I'm seeing, I've seen a lot more deaths happening than even in the peak of the pandemic. And so we are, and it was noted even in Australia that they actually had three times as much COVID cases and death in Australia compared to the peak of what we were considering the pandemic. So people are learning that COVID has not gone away. There are a lot of repercussions to it. And there are a lot of different syndromes that are connected to it. And this is one that is really kind of scary because such young people are involved. And when we look at this from as a mortality crisis, there was a really good article that looked at what was being seen from the side of the insurance companies. And they also have documented an increased rise in non-COVID deaths. And so this was an article from the Insurance News Net where they talk about how we've kind of gone through this pandemic peak, but the disease's direct and indirect impact will take a while to assess, although it is clear that the deaths have increased across the board. They talk about how they initially saw a 14% increase in claims for insurance, and that increased to 20%, and that a very large percentage of those claims had nothing to do with COVID-19. And as much as 12 months leading up to April 2021, there was a 28.5% increase from the prior year of death claims. Death is a disparate trend with the economy. So the carriers all looked at what was happening with the insurance companies, and approximately 40% of the U.S. reported COVID deaths in August and September were from individuals, they said, under the age of 65. Approximately 20% of COVID deaths in December of 2020 and January 2021. And they showed a younger cohort of people being involved. And then they looked at the excess mortality rates and looking at the lifespan of people over this particular time. And they saw a decrease in all life expectancy in the United States from 77 years old. It decreased by 1.8 from the year 2019. And so we'll take a little bit more in-depth look at this, but we'll take a quick break and we'll be right back, and we'll also open up the phone line. So if you have any questions, concerns, or if you kind of realize that there has been an increase of people, I feel like there's been an increase in this country of people that have passed away. And so I really would like to look at those numbers and see what that looks like in terms of trending in the Bahamas. So we'll take a quick break and we'll be right back on The Doctor's In with me, Dr. Dinoza Ratchakare.
So, what would you like to discuss?
Insurance, Doc. It's so frustrating. I go to the mall for motor. Drive to Bay Street to get a home quote. Swing east to file a medical claim, then go west for a pensions appointment. Don't even get me started about life.
I'm going to prescribe CG Atlantic. They have all the insurance you're looking for.
Really? Thanks.
With all the insurance you need, we're like a doctor that doesn't waste your time and money. CG Atlantic. Good like that.
And welcome back to The Doctor's In with me, Dr. Dinothra Archer-Cartwright. Thank you for joining us for another evening show on Tuesday nights on Guardian Radio. We are on live on Facebook. That is The Doctor's In with Dr. D. Archer. We're on guardiantalkradio.com. And we're live on the radio as well. Our numbers tonight, if you want to join in our conversation or you have a topic that you want to bring up, 322-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Brought to you, of course, by Medical Concierge Services for all your medical care needs. We are a family medicine clinic. We also specialize in home care. So if you need a doctor to come out to your home, your office, your boat, we are ready to do that. And you can reach us at 326-1521, or you can WhatsApp us at 429-4880. You can find us on Facebook, Medical Concierge Services, or Instagram, medical_concierge_services, for all your needs. And if you want to sign up with us for NHI, you can give us a call, use our WhatsApp, or you can check out our website, mcsfoundlymedicine.com. So tonight we were talking a lot about sudden death, especially in our younger population under the age of 40. And that they were seeing a sudden death increasing around the world in people younger than the age of 40. And so this has been something that's been baffling the medical community. And so people are looking at that and even suggesting that people who have a strong family of heart disease go and get checked out to see if they have any changes in their ECG. So all this comes down to is a really good time to get your health in order, get your physicals in order, because prevention is always better than having to deal with these things. And so there are a lot of different things that are related to this syndrome, not just COVID, but in general, there's been an increase throughout the years on how this is done. And really, it's hard to diagnose what the cause would be after a unexpected or sudden death. And it's something that's left in the hands of the coroner. And so usually people would end up having to get a postmortem done. And during the postmortem exam, a pathologist will have to look to see if the person had a coronary heart disease, a heart attack, any kind of failure, or if there were any clots inside the lung. On top of this, a pathologist would look for any obvious causes of death, and they would do further testing, looking at the organ tissue, and test for any medications or drugs in the body. They would ask for an assessment by an expert or a heart pathologist who would look specifically at the heart itself, and they would decide then on the cause of death and declare it as an unexplained after these tests were done. And so when this happens, usually the recommend that the family members also get tested for and looking for any inherited heart conditions. Some may not be ready to be tested after losing a loved one, but that's really understandable. But usually if you have something like that done, the rest of the family should get some type of testing done to see if there is some type of inherited cause that could be creating the condition. And how would we determine if there is an inherited heart condition or a problem? We usually do a genetic test. And a genetic test is usually done with a simple blood test. And this can be carried out with a hair sample as well, a skin or a bodily tissue. And that can find different faults and different issues. As you can see, they did that also with our patients who have had breast cancer in the past when they look for the BRCA genes and different things. So yeah, people are able to find out for sure if it is a genetic issue that the entire family needs to be aware of. I mean, nobody wants to have a young person in their family pass away or die. And if someone has a heart condition and has died from SADS, immediately you would want the parents, the siblings, and the children to all get that genetic testing done. They will go into your family history and discuss whether you or other family members have any other symptoms that may be putting you at higher risk. And then they talk a little bit more about the differences between cardiac death and SAD, as we talked about. And usually when you have someone in the family who dies unexpectedly, You really need to get emotional support. And I think we don't talk about that. Even throughout the COVID pandemic, we really haven't talked about the emotional support that people need when people die unexpectedly. And that the emotional and mental health is so, so important. And so if someone passes away suddenly, this can be an extremely difficult time for people. And people can be confused and they can really kind of wonder what they need to do with themselves in their life. And I think that even, you know, as a nation, we really need to invest in that mental health aspect as we transition out of this pandemic and how that has affected not just those around us who may have noticed death, because we've had incidences where a lot of people have died at home. And that's something that a lot of families would not have dealt with before. And now, even now with these increases of sudden death because of the lack of health support that they've needed. And so bereavement is something that people go through, and grief. And you should speak with your healthcare provider and really look for support if you're having issues with any of that, dealing with death within the last few years. And there's a lot of support services that you may not know that is available. And so mental health is a really large component that we seem to be missing out when we talk about death within the last few years and with everything that's happening. How we deal with that death is very important. And you can move from bereavement into depression if it's not handled appropriately, especially when you have families who've had multiple deaths. And I think it's why we're seeing even some issues socially with our young people. We didn't really take the time to find out how these people were doing, young people, older people, doing mentally when we send them even back to school. So a lot of them have dealt with a lot over the last few years, not just economically, but socially. And they've also had death to deal with. And I saw an article about a large chunk of children still not going back to school. And so where are these kids and what have they gone through during this time? This is something that we really need to investigate. Do we know what's happened to these children? Have they lost parents? Are they being taken care of? Are they living on their own? I mean, there's so much that comes out of something like this that we've been through that each one of those incidences needs to be investigated. We need to look specifically at what's happening. And we need to know where these children are. And so that's also a really big thing that comes out of death and sudden death that we need to kind of look at, like what happens to these family structures. And if these kids have had parents who have died, who's taking care of them and who are the new guardians? And so there's a lot of work that needs to be looked at. So the numbers here are 322-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. We're just going to open the lines for all those that want to participate. A few other things that have been happening in terms of COVID around the world. We see that the U.S. has also removed testing from travel, but that is only for vaccinated persons. And so they're still only allowing vaccinated people into the United States, which is unfortunate that we are still kind of dealing with that over all this time. But I think steps are being moved where we are getting away from some of these restrictions, and we will see a change in what happens over time. And that is the direction that we really want to go in. I haven't been keeping up so much with the numbers, but of what's happening here in the Bahamas, but I think it's fairly clear to say, as I mentioned over a year ago, that the pandemic will become endemic and that we will have low levels of numbers that are going to be coursing through. The great thing and the benefit of some of the newer strains, however, is that we're not seeing a lot of hospitalization and death. And so that is a positive in terms of the direction that we have taken when it comes to COVID-19. And so I think we're in another phase of that. And how we decide to deal with that is going to be interesting. And I think they had mentioned by summer that we were out of a lot of these restrictions. And here we are, it is summertime. And so we haven't had a lot of changes recently, but we have been kind of just in the same spot for quite some time. And I'm hoping that changes quite a bit in the future. I know a lot of people have been still having issues with COVID, but I haven't had any patients that have passed away recently. And I've had a pretty good run in terms of COVID and early treatment. And so it has been a blessing to not have any really deaths in our practice. And really that is the most important thing is catching it early, providing treatment and being able to deal with it on that level. And that's why this kind of fallout or repercussions of post-pandemic, it's now essential for us to now look at getting back into our public health initiatives, getting back into primary care, and getting back into our healthy lifestyle. One of the large things that was related to the sudden death in the young people was related to obesity. And we've talked about this extensively before, how our baseline health really deals with everything. And I have so many patients that come in that, you know, it's those things that are so important. And those things are still the hardest for most people to be able to change. And you don't want to wait until you have multiple comorbidities and you're on a multitude of different medication. And so the typical patient, a lot of patients will come, we'll see them not in a state of primary care, but actually after they've had tertiary care, in which they have already been seen by a lot of subspecialists. And so if you're hypertensive, diabetic, cholesterol, obesity, a lot of people then are coming in with problems to be solved. And we're finding out that they already have heart disease. Perhaps they have chronic kidney disease. And when you're at that stage, it's very hard to be able to manage that without an extensive profile of medication. And so I like to see a patient much earlier on in the stage where we can actually get you off of medication. And this is a difficult conversation that I have with a lot of patients because they come in and they know the type of doctor that I am and they want to be off of medication. But if you've been like this for 20 years, it's very difficult. The perfect patient for me is someone first of all, no comorbidities would be great. But if you come in fairly early and we catch it early, there are a lot of patients that we can get off of medication. Diabetes medication, hypertensive medication. Because when you're on medication for a long period of time, and what we usually say is for a lot of people, when you're diagnosed with hypertension and diabetes, especially hypertension, if you had not been going to the doctor consistently over the past few years, usually you've had hypertension for quite a few years. And so what we're doing is we're seeing you usually after you are symptomatic. And once you're starting to have symptoms of these disease, it's very likely you're going to end up on medication. So if you don't want to end up on medication, you don't want to be in the group of persons with sudden death. You don't want to be in persons with cardiac arrhythmias. You really want to stay on top of your health. And you might say, I don't have any comorbidities. I don't take medication for anything. The purpose of primary care is to keep you from that point. Because I hear people, oh, the doctors are going to put me on a lot of medication. I don't think anyone wants to put patients on medication. Usually people come after they've had a problem. And this is the most important thing, because people say, what is the difference between family medicine and general practice and everything? Family medicine doctors are primary care specialists. So primary care means at the beginning, we want to be the first doctors to see you. We want to keep you healthy. And so this is why it's important to have a primary care physician, because it's not just about prescribing medicine. It's about creating a lifestyle, a way of life in which you can be your optimized self. You can be healthy and you can stay off of medication. And so that is really, really the goal of having a primary care provider. They kind of keep you going. So get that yearly examination. It's very, very important. And it allows you to have an idea of what your health is like and what you need to do in the future. Having physicals that are all normal is absolutely fine, and that's where you want to be. Also, being able to know if there is a problem early allows you to deal with a lot of those problems with what we call lifestyle adjustments. So by adjusting simple things in your lifestyle before it becomes very problematic is a much simpler way of dealing with things, rather than letting it be compounded, ending up with some heart disease, or ending up in an emergency situation. Once you have multiple comorbidities, it becomes more and more difficult, and you start seeing some of the complicated side effects of some of these conditions. When you lead to having heart disease, you know, your heart is not something that's easily repaired. Your kidney function is something that you tend not to get back. And so you do not want to leave things to the stage where those things become problematic. And that tends to be some of the main and most popular or most prominent outcomes as we relate to those conditions. So primary care really looks at how do we either stop the progress of some of these diseases, or how do we not get you there in the first place? And that's what I like to do. That is my main goal. And that's the type of healthcare that I prefer to do. I don't want to see you so much when you're sick. We can deal with you when you're sick, but I want to see you early. I want to see you when you're healthy, when you're still in good health, when you're young. And so you want to get in the practice of getting your general checkups every single year, and doing that. And, you know, it's neither here nor there. And especially if you do have a strong family history for any of these problems, hypertension, diabetes, heart disease. What I find is a lot of people with strong family history of heart disease may not always come with hypertension and diabetes, but they may just have an underlying cholesterol issue. And sometimes that comes with no symptoms. And so that is one where you have to be tested. And usually you would do your cholesterol test with your annual physical. And if you aren't really keeping up with that, then you would miss that completely. So that is one of the kind of what I call the silent killers that's related to a lot of mortality. And I find that that usually has a genetic component. And a lot of people are not physically big people. They tend to be people who are actually a lot slimmer. And they think, well, you know, I'm not a big person, so I'm pretty healthy. I don't have hypertension, diabetes. But they do end up having this underlying lower elevated cholesterol, in which can lead to heart problems. That can just show minor changes on your ECG, but lead to some of these sudden death syndromes, a sudden heart attack as well. And when you trace their family history, you'll find that their father or other, and especially with the males, other males in their family might have died early from some type of heart disease. So that is another particular thing to think about. It's not always the conventional hypertension and diabetes, but a lot of persons who do have some cholesterol issues as well. They also present sometimes asymptomatic or out of the box They might have a syncope episode where they've fallen out or they have minor chest pain. So those people should also get checked out. So we're going to take one more quick break. And we do have some time if you want to call in, 322-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. So we'll be back in a moment to wrap it all up.
So, what would you like to discuss?
Insurance, Doc. It's so frustrating. I go to the mall for motor, drive to Bay Street to get a home quote, swing east to file a medical claim, then go west for a pensions appointment. Don't even get me started about life.
I'm going to prescribe CG Atlantic. They have all the insurance you're looking for.
Really? Thanks.
With all the insurance you need, we're like a doctor that doesn't waste your time and money. CG Atlantic. Good like that.
This program is a rebroadcast of a previously aired program.
The views and opinions of the host and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff.
Technical glitch there. Go on. Hey, welcome to the Doctor's Inn with me, Dr. Danielle Archer. Welcome back to the show. Thank you for joining us Tuesday night. We are brought to you by Medical Concierge Services for all your medical care needs. For those of you wanting to sign up with us for NHI, you can check our website, mcsfoundlymedicine.com, or give us a call at 326-1521 or our WhatsApp line, which would be 429-4880. Tonight, we were talking about sudden adult death syndrome. The fact that we've been seeing this globally around the world as an increase in countries such as Europe, New Zealand, Australia, and the United States. We're unaware in the Bahamas about our numbers, but usually we'll find that in the Bahamas, we do follow the trend of a lot of these countries in terms of our consistently with the death and these types of syndrome. So if you have any questions for us tonight, 322-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. We're just going to review before we leave that the sudden death in adults, this was primarily looking at persons under the age of 40 years old. And the fact that there are a group of young people we've been seeing over the last few years who have been dying with usually cardiac related issues, but it's not a heart attack. It's not related to any problems that they might have had in the past. And the concept is that it may be genetically linked, it may be linked to COVID-19, or it may be linked to issues with the vaccine. And so they're actually looking into this right now, especially with myocarditis and other heart being related to that. And it's kind of something that has been a mystery to the physicians who have been looking at these cases. A lot of these patients have had to have postmortems done, and they haven't provided the type of information to specific cause. Also, we noted that those persons who've had family members who have died suddenly, it's really important if you have the means to get genetically tested to see if this is some type of family genetic syndrome that this could be related to. We also talked about that it's extremely important for all of us to look generally at our health as we're coming out of the pandemic. It's so important to get your physicals done to make sure that your health is in order and to be proactive in our health. And the way that we approach health. And this means getting your annual physicals on time, looking to see, because things come up such as family history would allow us to see what kind of testing can be done. How do we see what's going on earlier on? Because not everyone presents with hypertension and diabetes. Cholesterol is kind of a silent killer and can be related to a lot of these problems. I've had quite a few clients who have come in and they are perfectly healthy except for the cholesterol. And when we look at their family history, we find that a lot of those patients have had families, history of early deaths due to some type of heart disease, and this may be linked to the fact that there's some type of familial dyslipidemic syndrome or profile that's going on. And so in those patients, you want to find out early because they can have these kind of sudden death issues as well, and early heart attacks, especially in our men. And you don't have to be a big person for this to be something that affects you. And so you have a lot of people who feel like, I'm not obese, I don't have a family history of hypertension or diabetes, but they do have a family history of heart disease. And usually, like we say, cholesterol is a big link to that. And so you want to get that investigated as soon as possible. And what I like to do with a lot of those patients is I'll also let them have an ECG done. Sometimes there are minor changes on the ECG, and we can kind of monitor that extremely early or get them in with a cardiologist if needed to kind of monitor those things. And so I try to tell people that you cannot compare your health to other people. Health is almost a very personal thing, in which you can have a completely different body type. You can have a completely different genetic predisposition to other people and have completely different outcomes. Okay, we're almost done, but we have a caller. So caller, you're on the air. We'll take this call just before we go.
Yes, good night, Dr. Archer.
Hi, good night. How you doing?
Yeah, you know, everything else all right. I just, to the beginning of the show, you was talking about the new uptick in adult sudden death syndrome, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or sudden death adult syndrome, whatever it is. But I know back in about 20 years ago, they came up with the terminology infant death syndrome because they couldn't find out the reason for sudden deaths in infants, right?
Yes.
And I think it was linked to pertussis, right? Hello?
It was linked to a few different things.
Yeah, but the thing is, Dr. D, when it comes to the sudden, all of the proliferation of the new heart attacks now, right? We know that kidney dysfunction, there's a lot of different side effects from the vaccines. And so there's a schoolmate of mine, she died all of a sudden also. I don't know. And then some people in the church, that guy was telling me, they took the vaccine and they had these feelings and then they just died all of a sudden. So a lot of people are dying, right? Unexpectedly. Mm-hmm. I'm noticing it because I've seen a lot of people. I look in the obituary this week and a few schoolmate of mine, they're in their 50s and stuff. But what I'm saying is, just look at the physical morphology and what Dr. Bessel said on Steve McKinney's show the other day, as far as the prions and these are the folding responses of the proteins, right? I was familiar with it. He used a different terminology, but I know the disease as cool, what they call mad cow. I also know it's bovine spongiform encephalitis.
Crutz-Jacobs,
that's the name he used. Yeah. But I wonder why the medical industry always changing the name to obfuscate. That's the way I know it as. I don't know as no Crutz-Jacobs. I see Jacobson in the book. I know undulant fever was known as Bang's disease. It was brucellosis. Why did they do that, man? But anyway, forget it.
I think what it is there's different prion diseases, and then that one is what we relate to mad cow's disease. So there's probably, they just sometimes they get lumped together, but they're different ones. Hello? I don't know where the caller went. I don't know if he got dropped. I did not drop your caller. So I didn't get the... Okay, yeah, they're saying that the call dropped. So you have a few minutes. You can call back in. But what he was talking about is, I think Dr. Bethel had mentioned about sudden death syndrome also in response to relationship to vaccination. And so he had brought that topic up. And there hasn't been enough studies to determine, but we know that there needs to be studies to look at that linkage for sure. And I do think there's been an uptick in deaths. I don't have the numbers. It's hard to get numbers here in this country, which is kind of sad that we should have more access to the data. But I'm sure when we look back in a few years, we'll see that there is an uptick. I know when I compared the numbers of death during the first waves of COVID, 2020, early 2021, there had not been a large, significant increase in death. I think the ratio I saw, the velocity increase was something like 0.3% or something like that. So I didn't see that type of massive death that you would have thought. And I'm sure when we look at it, we're going to see more deaths between 2001-2022 and than we probably saw in 2020. So, you know, all of these discussions, all of these details, we are always kind of 6 to 8 months behind the conversation that's happening in the rest of the world. And so even some of my colleagues are like, Dr. Archer, what are you talking about? Because I try to keep up with what's happening globally in terms of the pandemic and what we're seeing. And so that my conversations are a little bit ahead of what we're talking about here in the Bahamas, if we ever talk about them at all. And I hope we get to the level where we can have these conversations a lot more openly and a lot more often. And I just want to thank everyone because, you know, we have a quiet little evening show, but I do get a lot of appreciation when I'm out there on the road and in different places, people enjoying the show and listening in. So I just want to thank everyone that tunes in, you know. And a lot of people come up to me and they say, we're listening, Dr. Archer, we're here. So, you know, 52 is kind of getting into what we're all thinking about, but we're not allowed to say. The fact that we do see an uptick in deaths. This is what they're quantifying these deaths as, sudden adult death syndrome. And so, you know, we have to go with what they put out there, but we need more analysis and we need to be able to compare what's happening in the rest of the world to the Bahamas. Likely it's very, very similar. We tend to see the same parallel of things that usually that's happening in the United States. And so take care of yourself. Be safe out there. Look after yourself. Try to eat healthy, exercise, and get rid of any vices like smoking or excessive drinking, because this is a difficult time and you want to have your health as optimized as possible. So thank you for listening in. Just like that, the show is done. And so we'll see you back next week on the Doctors In with me, Dr. D. Archer. Good night.